Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
The way to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, folks.
Oh, I love Christmas Eve. It is. We usually celebrate Christmas with
magical.
Our family.
Yeah. Yes.
It's where we put on our fancy Christmas pajamas.
Yeah, buddy.
I don't have any fancy Christmas pajamas.
You don't have pajamas.
Whoa, stop.
Easy.
Sorry.
Easy.
You know, Christmas Eve is always like this super magical time to me because growing up in church, we did the candlelight thing on Christmas Eve. Like we'd all come together. They'd turn the lights out. We'd have candles, you know, with a little paper ring so the wax didn't drip on your hand.
Yeah. Really special, man.
And that we'd light each other candle and then we'd sing, you know, some Christmas, you know, whatever songs we did.
Oh, come all ye faithful.
It was probably growing
joyful
up.
Joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem.
Nice.
Clint, you're not in the Christmas spirit.
You guys were singing no harmony there. I didn't want to come in and be like the only harmony.
We were unison. That was no harmony.
I was going to go to the harmony.
You guys
eventually.
Do that well. I'll just leave it to you.
Yeah.
That's probably the most spiritual like moment I ever had in church growing up.
Except for the one we just had.
Yeah.
But there were no candles and the lights were still on, okay?
Yeah, it's really special whenever people come together and they just honor the coming of the Lord. That sounds so super religious. I don't want to sound religious, but it's really honoring the coming of the Lord. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, you think about the angels that showed up in the middle of the night with the shepherds and everything. I mean, there is a nighttime thing going on with sound and lights and angels. Yeah.
It was a big production.
And it always feels like there's a lot of closure to the year at Christmas time. Yeah. And you're able to just reflect on everything that's happened over the past year. And that's kind of what we're doing on the show today. We're going to visit some of the highlights from shows over the past year of 2017 Next Gen Worship Broadcast. So we've had lots of great people on the show. We're going to do this next week, too, for New Year's Eve, big New Year's Eve party, and visit some of those highlights. Sean Bowles, Rita Springer's been on the program. I personally, one of my favorite shows that we did this past year was the one with Nick and Ashley.
Yeah.
Where they just shared their heart about the album and sang for us. It was really, really special.
Yeah. I really enjoyed having Rita Springer on. We had a two-part interview with her, and it was just so fun connecting with one of my heroes. Like she, like when after I got saved and I went through all the Vineyard music and I went through all the Maranatha music and all the Hosanna music. And then I found Rita Springer. I was like, yes.
It's kind of like when I found Darlene Check.
Yeah. I'm staying right here. But she was such a hero and such a mother of worship to the whole world. And she's really kind of coming back on the scene with some fresh music. And I think she's going on tour with Bethel. And, you know, so excited to see what God's doing with her. Anyway, such a treasure to be able to sit down with her and talk to her.
My favorite was that one you did with those two ladies that have the podcast for women.
Oh, brother.
Oh, my gosh. That was so... Oh, wait. You're not highlighting that one this year. Never mind. Just kidding. I think Rita was my favorite, too. I love her legacy. And I was excited to get to hear all about that.
So we're going to have lots of great clips for you coming up this week and next week on the two highlight shows that we do at the end of every year on Christmas Eve. Guys, this is awesome.
So fun.
Stick around. We'll be back.
Come and behold him, born the king. What's the words? The single mom raising kids alone. The woman headed back to school to start a new career. The woman loving and cherishing children that you didn't get to birth.
The single woman who isn't waiting for a man to help you really live your adventure. The brave mom who homeschools. The brave mom who doesn't. The businesswoman. The lady preacher who's going against the religious flow. Every day, you fight for what is right and good and healthy. You wage war against dysfunctional patterns and habits in your own life and in the world around you by living with a heart that is becoming whole and healthy. You were made with a beautiful mind that solves problems and a beautiful body that creates and sustains life. You are Wonder Woman. Look around you, see the beautiful ones, and champion them.
Empowering women to thrive. Ladies, catch an all-new episode of the On Fire podcast tomorrow at onfirepodcast.com.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Well, this week we are diving into revisiting some of the highlights of the past year. Mm-hmm. We've had some really great guests. We've talked about some really, really deep-hearted stuff over this past year. And as we were going back through these clips, Clint, we realized a lot of what we were focused on was the future generations, the millennials. And so to kind of kick things off, my pastor, my friend, Howie Nunnally.
Howie has got a great father's view of the kingdom, and I love what he talks about in this clip about a great perspective on the next generation and equipping them to advance the kingdom.
It's beautiful, you know, the next generation. Anytime you want to know where you're going, it's not knowing where you are, but knowing who is coming behind you. Just like Lewis and Clark, they pioneered. Well, if no one would have come behind them and settled, it would just grown back up and weeds and thickets and the path is gone. So if we're going to pioneer something, we better know who's going to come and homestead, you know, and who's going to settle the lands that we're pioneering. And so those are the millennials and, you know, born between anywhere between 1979, 1999. There's a few years in there, you know, 1980, 2000. And so we've got this generation that was born in crisis. Their psyche was formed by crisis. Within the millennial generation, as they were coming of age, they grew up in a 24-hour news cycle. We didn't. A 24-hour news cycle that was under crisis, financial crisis and war. So their mindset, it's a little different than even ours because we didn't grow up exactly under that pressure. And so it's identifying these things and going, okay, who am I talking to? So what do they want? Security. At a job, a millennial will work at a place that they feel safe and is cause-driven for less money than if they would work at a different place. So this helps what our kingdom perspective in speaking identity into them is. Because what is the kingdom? The kingdom's the safest place ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You want to feel secure? You want to feel close? Millennials actually want to live closer to family. So you have more millennials forming multifamily homes than any other generation, not just because of economics, part of the reason because they grew up in that economic crisis. So that's their paradigm that we're always in crisis. But they're also, they want family. They want that connection. You think about 9/11, you think about some of these things they grew up in. They want that connection. They're very justice driven, very cause driven. Tom Shoes. Prime example. You know, I mean, you look at 87% of nonprofits, Rafa House, were formed by millennials. They're starting them, you know, they're starting the small businesses that are cause driven. Those are kingdom concepts. So who's going to catch it? Who's going to catch them and start speaking that identity into them? Who's going to start calling out some of that anxiety of growing up in crisis? You know, is it going to be the psychiatrist or is it going to be the father in the kingdom going, you want peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost? That's the kingdom.
Yeah.
I got it for you.
Yeah.
So these are some misconceptions about the millennials. We can actually start calling good what God calls good and valuing and seeing that value in them from a kingdom perspective. I think it'll rock the planet.
That was show number one of 2017. Isn't it crazy that we're back here again so quickly? I mean, it just seems like it was yesterday.
Right.
We had a New Year's Day show with Howie. Just shortly after that, we brought Ken Henry here to our area and did a two-day kind of workshop and worship, and he poured into our lives. If you don't know who Kent Henry is, you got to go check him out online, kenthenry.com. He's a father in the faith, and he's stewarding a lot of presence-centered ministry in the St. Louis area.
Right, and his heart is really for a great awakening to just erupt in our country and in the earth. And this clip, he talks about that, talks about his heart for that, ties in really well with what we just heard from Howie.
The abundance of prayer and worship. We just finished doing a song, one of your singers, Dean, love this. It's so worthy of it all. And I think it's Corey Asbury's song. And it the bridge is day and night and night and day, let incense arise. And it's the prayers of the saints. So some kind of combination of worship and prayer, I call it passionate worship with zealous prayer, is the end game. It's not just doing church services. And that's going to be on a more of a daily basis where in smaller groups that people, incense is going to arise. I'm telling you, as sure as I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior, that nations are coming online. Even in Muslim nations, they're having conversions of hundreds, even into the thousands of new converts in underground church in China. And what they're built on is deep worship and passionate prayer. Billy Humphrey is a friend of mine at the Atlanta IHOP down in Georgia. He's gone to be in the underground church three or four times when he first went. They were driving and driving, and they're out in the middle of some old industrial building. And as he approaches the building, he can hear them crying out. There's music playing. It's like a moaning and a groaning to the Lord. And then he got in there. He started weeping. Mm-hmm. And they said, "You are most important man, you know, from America. Pray for us." And he's going, "I can't pray for you. You better pray for me that I actually have the depth." This guy is leading 24/7 worship, the Atlanta IHOP. But here's the point. All of us are actually called, five or six people, 60, 200 in a room. And it could be a somebody's house meeting. It could be via a community center. The end game is more deeper worship with passionate prayer. Intercession is the power to intervene and break the power of the kingdom of darkness off a city or region. And really, we got discombobulated, whatever word that is in the dictionary. Even back in the 70s, 80s, we came out of very pure organic worship. And by the way, we were singing scripture songs. We were singing, you know, the Pentecostal evangelical world, the Jesus movement preceded me by a few years. I was in the charismatic renewal or charismatic movement. But they said, "Well, these hippie kids, girls look like boys." And they were very vindictive and judgmental. Yeah. And they said, you know, they'll never amount to anything. And here they took the Psalms, put it to contemporary music. It went around the world. There was a worldwide movement. I think we're on the verge of that again, a global great awakening. I want one for America. This is my nation. I'm all American. I'm all about the kingdom. And I want to see a great awakening. And that's where the Spirit of God swoops in and people truly are convicted and converted at a high level. You can sense the anointing on this so strong. So the end game is start doing more deeper worship and passionate prayer. Irregardless of your weekly responsibility at a church building, make sure you're doing it as a lifestyle every day.
Worship and intercession, driving the force forward for generations to come, but they have to be equipped.
Right. And so next clip before our break, we're going to talk with Dustin Smith. Man, Dustin is a great friend, has been for many years. I love his heart, and you'll hear the passion in his voice as he talks about equipping the equippers.
Culture has defined church for so long, and I feel like church is supposed to define culture. You know, Ephesians says, the church isn't peripheral to the world, but the world is supposed to be peripheral to the church.
Yeah.
And for so long in our religious culture, it's really been about one guy doing everything. And I even feel like we've lost the fivefold ministry because of the fact that we have one guy having to do everything. It's not even that they want to do everything. So this isn't a knock on guys who are leading movements and doing it all. It's just been the way it's been, and they burn out. One of the reasons I think guys burn out is because it's had to become just about them doing everything. And I started asking God, like, how do I empower the guys around me? How do I empower them to be who I know they're supposed to be, to step out, to really live life on the edge? And I felt God say, well, how are they supposed to own Dustin Smith Ministries? Like, how are they supposed to be Dustin Smith? They can't be Dustin Smith. You know, and it hit me, you know, pretty hard, actually. And so I started just asking God, and I've been a part of doing some stuff with Michael Farron and Jenny Riddle, and we had started traveling as Here Be Lions. Well, the name Here Be Lions, it's funny because when you show up, people are like, oh, you like, here we be. You know, I don't know. I don't know what they think, but like some people think it's called We Be Lions. Actually, when you read it, it reads it like it looks like Hebrew loins. So you got to be careful, no matter how you say it. But Here Be Lions is actually something that the early voyagers used when they would go out on ships. In their maps, wherever there was untapped resources or undiscovered territories, they would stamp it with Here Be Lions. So when they would go out, it would actually warn them that there may be things here. There may be untapped resources or undiscovered territories, but there might actually be lions here. You know, there might actually be dangerous things here. And we started realizing, like, we're actually out looking everywhere we travel. We're actually looking for lions. So we're asking God, would you stamp an area and show us where the lions are? So when we show up, we can call that out in them. We can call them out as lions. And we can say, it's okay for you to roar. It's okay for you to be. And we believe there are untapped resources in the kingdom of God because too many people are waiting for the man to do it. They're waiting for somebody else to do it. And this is something that God's actually put on us. Like, we feel like our ministry is to equip the equippers. And it's difficult because in this culture, there's like, especially in Nashville, there's so much competition. Everything's competition based. But I really believe that competition comes from a poverty mentality. You know, it comes from a mentality that says, well, you know, Clint, you got a podcast. If your podcast is successful, that means my podcast can't be successful. So I can't really support you. I can't really give you money because I'm fighting for my own money. I'm fighting for my own resources. I'm fighting for my own platform. And I think that is so bogus. If you know who God is and the kingdom of God, then you're going to look at other people and you're going to call out the best in them. And I don't even care if they're a more powerful voice than me, because my job is not to be the voice. My job is to equip and empower voices.
Wow.
But the problem is that we've had such this insecure culture in church that, well, oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford it if I step into this position that isn't the main guy, or if I'm an associate, or if I'm just a helper, and I'm thinking like, are you crazy? This is why we're not resourced very well, you know,
yeah.
Because God knows if we're so fear-based and so poverty-based that if he does give us resources, we're just going to hold on to it because we're going to be fearful then that it's not going to last or it's going to go away. And so I feel like, you know, Here Be Lions for us is like, as we travel around, you know, we're going to travel to churches, we're going to travel worship teams, and we don't go in just going, you know, oh yeah, bring us in because we want to show you how good we are. We want you to bring us in so we can empower your worship team, and we want to help pull out the gold in them and help reveal how good they can be, and how they can change their city. We may come in and we may partner with their voice, we may try to help, but our goal is like, a visitor will never have the power over a city that you can have owning the city.
Yeah.
When you own land in that city, when you stand on that land, that's your land. That's your piece of territory. So us as visitors will never have the authority you'll have owning it. That's the power of it. So we want to come in and partner with people, and we want to help reveal this is what God's calling you to do. You know, as we're doing songs, as we're doing trainings and teachings, our goal is to equip the equippers.
So love Dustin Smith and his heart. He's kind of been with Next Gen Worship from the conception of it, and encouraged and supported, championed along the way, and has just been a big support to what we've been doing in our region.
For sure.
This is what we're doing on this show and next week as well, highlighting some of those great moments that we've had. I wish we could actually do all of them, but
right,
we just handpick a couple of them, and they're all so good. We enjoyed all the shows that we did this past year. We'll do some more highlights when we come back. We're going to be talking with Life of the Family, Revival House, some of our new friends, and Chris Jones, a local champion. Stick around.
Discover the number one biggest mistake you could be making online as a business owner. Get an exact step-by-step process for building a successful online presence. Identify solutions that will take you from where you are to where you want to be. And develop a custom roadmap for your success. Grow your business today. Identity has helped business owners across the country and around the world develop and scale their global reach. Identity empowers businesses to thrive by offering professional web design, programming, film, video, marketing, advertising, business growth tools, and more, all based on proven strategies that work in every aspect of your brand. Discover a new way of doing business. Discover Identity at discoveridentity.com.
Fear is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
On today's show, we are looking back at the highlights from 2017. So many amazing interviews and so many great nuggets. I love what we're about to hear from our friends, Life of the Family, Steve and Melissa Brintrow. They are champions for family, champions for relationship, and they do it so well and transparently through their blog, lifeofthefamily.com. They shared with us some great nuggets for building legacy and family.
Last week, we were talking a little bit about short-term versus long-term visions. And when you have a short-term vision and goal, you're usually just looking at the things immediately around you. You end up reacting to what's causing you the most discomfort. And especially when you're really, really busy and you're swamped at work, you come home, you got to take the kids to soccer practice or whatever. And then you're so stressed out that you just look at the problems that are in front of you and try to solve those. But then beyond that, you're not really thinking long term, not even how can I get someplace, but where do I want to go?
Right.
What do I want to become? What do I want my family to become? And I think that's the bigger question. If you can consider what you actually want to craft with your life.
There was a time in my life particularly where we were so busy. I had this beautiful family and wasn't reaping all the joy that could come out of that. And busyness is a trap that we don't realize the enemy is setting for us, especially as Christian parents. And busyness cuts into the design that God has for your family and the gift that he's given you. It's such a gift. He gave it to you out of love because he wants you to have the best. And it's like you're tripping over it instead of opening it. And that's where I found myself for a while in our life. And my health forced me to slow down, but I don't regret that at all because God used it as a chance to show me this beautiful, amazing family. And it helped me do a 180 and really embrace every moment with them. I feel so much better now. And a lot of our blogs are just birthed out of that joy. I don't know if anybody reads them, but man, we're having so much fun together. It's like a journal where I'm just writing down the joy that we're getting. And that's really attractive. We get a lot of attention.
Yeah. And, you know, we just got back from a 2-week vacation with my parents and it was so much fun because at a couple points I would just sit back, I watch my parents, watch my kids, and I'm just overcome with joy. That doesn't happen. You know, that doesn't just happen. For years in our family, it was so much that we were working on the problems in front of us. We never had time just to sit back and enjoy and say, wow. It's not all perfect, but wow, look at this. This is, we're actually becoming something. We're going someplace. We're doing something together.
Yeah.
You know?
And we still have problems that arise, but now we both feel the joy of the Lord about the process. He is not tripped up by our imperfection. He is walking with us through the process of parenting these little guys and building a legacy together. And he is fully invested in that. And that scripture, the joy of the Lord is my strength, I tend to hear that different now. The joy of the Lord, his joy about the whole thing is giving me strength and it's giving me laughter in the hard times because I'm feeling it coursing through me. Like I feel his eyes on me and it's not a scowl. And I feel his eyes on our marriage and what we're building and he's not frustrated. He's not frustrated. He's jumping with joy, excited, partnering with us, and it's making him so happy. And I feel that, and it surges through our marriage and through our kids, and we're just overcome by it.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing. For the longest time, I always looked at my life and my family and my marriage and kept thinking, I'm not there yet. I'd look at other people that I wanted to be like or, you know, that I emulate, and I'd say, I'm not there yet. Not realizing God isn't even concerned about the destination. He really isn't. He's concerned about the journey. And one of the revelations that I had recently is, you know, we talk about being transformed from glory to glory. That doesn't stop when we get to heaven. That's something that keeps going and keeps going, and we keep changing and we keep growing in him, and he keeps making it better and he reveals more stuff. And again, you know, a good friend of ours, Dustin Smith, always says about the, you know, the angels around the throne saying, holy, that's holy, right. holy. Every time that they bow down and they come back up and they're saying, holy, it's not because they're singing the chorus 20,000 times, you know, it's they're looking, and every time their eyes come up and they look on him, they see something new and they say, holy, holy, holy. And that's part of the journey. That's part of who we're becoming, and God enjoys it, and we're supposed to enjoy it. It's not supposed to be like,
right.
oh my gosh, I'm still not there yet. I'm so frustrated that I'm not there yet. He's like, but you're going someplace. You're running. You're moving. You're growing.
He did not create you to be miserable. He created you to walk in joy and to not do it alone. He put family around you for your comfort, for your joy, for your safety, your protection. As a blessing, he is not frustrated with you. He is partnering with you, and you're the luckiest people in the world if the Lord is your God.
Wow. You know, we interviewed several couples over the past year, and we're highlighting some of those today, like Steve and Melissa, and hearing kind of their story in their immediate mission field, which is their family. And, you know, listening to Kent Henry and Howie and Dustin talk about that 30,000 foot view, you know, that big picture kind of thing of equipping the next generation, we are now being brought down to kind of the first and foremost mission field. That's our family. And somebody else who's stewarding this very well down in Texas,
Jimmy and Rachel Barkley, who have a podcast called Revival House. And their whole deal is bringing the presence of God and that revival type of lifestyle from the church and implementing it in their home, in their family. They're doing it quite well. They're always funny, got a ton of great stories, and we so enjoy connecting with them.
And you asked them a question in your interview with them about stewarding presence in the home.
Right. I love the practical aspect of our interviews. And so we just asked them, what are some practical ways that you can steward revival in the home?
The most powerful way that this has been released in our home is me, as us as individuals, presenting ourselves to God to be healed. I don't think we realize how many wounds we carry around with us and how much that affects how we are able to have intimacy in our marriage or how we're able to actually lovingly parent our children. So I think the first thing is to really present your heart and all aspects of who you are to God. Let him love you. Let him heal you. And when you're healed up and when you're love tank is full by God, you have so much to give. But when you're living on empty, it's just everybody becomes a problem, you know? Yeah. Everybody's the problem. But when we're full of God's love, that's when we kind of experience revival.
I think the next thing would be intentionality. For some reason, we tend to think like, I go to church and I get filled up and then I don't have to do anything after that. Like, it's just going to all work. You know, God fixed me in the service. I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But saying like, okay, there are things that we can do in our house to try to foster that.
Yeah.
Like talking to our kids. Like, are you talking to, having those conversations with your children about the things of God? Or what sort of music do you have going on in your home? What sort of atmosphere even are you creating? And being very intentional about the things that we allow in our home, you know, not from a sin standpoint, but from like a victory standpoint, like what things are going to push us on, and being very intentional about, this is what we want our family, this is what we want our home to look like.
Yeah.
So what are the things that we need to get there?
They are such a fun couple, and I enjoy the spontaneity and just the life that comes out of them.
It's great to kind of explore those aspects of practical things we can apply to everyday life. Some of those are implementing things, and other ways we can do that is highlighting those things to beware of. And we kind of did that with Chris Jones when we talked about Men of Honor.
Right. This guy is a champion's champion. He's a local papa around here. We so love his heart. And we just sat down with him and asked him, what are some of the main obstacles that you see men encountering in trying to live the fullest life they can in the kingdom?
That's a great question. That's a question of deep thought. But for me, I would say instantly, as you begin to ask me that, it made me think back to what was my biggest obstacle. And I would say a lot of men is the fear of failure.
Wow.
The reality is I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail. So Lord, really help me with this, because you're calling me. I sense it. But the fear is, I don't want to fail. I don't want to let someone down. I don't want to drop the ball. And so sometimes for some men, they step up to the challenge easily because they trust in the Lord. But for other men, they just stand still, because it's not that they don't want to be great. It's not that they don't want to do great things, but they have this fear of failing. And when I think about that, I think about Peter. I think about Peter's denial, that his desire was not to deny Jesus, but he did. And I think about that was the most excruciating feeling Peter probably had, is that I failed you, Lord. When you're sincere. See, failing when you're not sincere is no big deal, I think, to people. But when you're sincere in your heart that I want to go after something for the Lord, I really want to raise my kid, I really want to love my wife, and then I really want to have that connection, and something happens where it seems like that's not happening, that's kind of crushing. And then you start to question, you're frustrated with yourself, because you're like, I really wanted to do that. I really wanted to take this shot and go after it, but something happened. I didn't see that weakness in it. When that takes place, it's awesome what Jesus did. Jesus went back to reignite Peter's confidence in himself. Jesus didn't come back and say, I told you, Peter, the prophecy I told you was true. Jesus said, there's no way I'm going to allow that sincere love you had in your heart to diminish. So I'm going to ask you, Peter, do you love me? And with your own mouth, you're going to confess that you love me, because that's the sincerity in your heart, even though you denied me and it seemed like you failed.
Oh, I love Chris Jones's heart, and he's doing such great things, stewarding relationship with young men in our community through sports, and just pouring into their hearts and equipping the next generation. It's kind of been the highlight of this highlight show, equipping the next generation, both on a worldwide scale and right here in our own homes. And next week, we're going to dive into some more highlight reels. We've dug through these. We've picked out the nuggets of the nuggets, if you will.
So we did some mining.
Join us for that. And it will be a big party bash. We're doing it on New Year's Eve. So just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and enjoy time with your family tonight and tomorrow morning. And we're looking forward to a brand new season in 2018 with you on the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.